Minutes to order. Apologize for the delay.
Very funny.
With us today is Representative Moses, Representative Holm, Representative Kelly, Representative Foster, Co-Chairman Schnall, Co-Chairman Meyer, Vice Chairman Stoltz, Representative Katula, Representative Jewell, and Representative Wyrick. This morning we are only taking up one bill, House Bill 362, which is the base student allocation. We took public testimony on this last week. I believe it was, I don't remember. Last week sometime we took up April 7th. Okay. And so I believe at this time we're ready for any amendments. Is there any additional discussion that needs to take place before we go into amendments? And I know several people have asked if they could provide us additional testimony, but we did have considerable amount of testimony last time, and I think we want to get this bill moving the best we can at this point in time. So with that, then let's go ahead and take up the First Amendment, Amendment 1 by Representative Schnault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 1.
Object.
Okay, it's been moved and objected to for discussion purposes. Go ahead, Representative Schnault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As most of you know, area cost factors have been a big issue with me over the last number of years, and what effects it has not only on my school district, but also other school districts around the state. When we talk about fairness, we talk about a lot of other issues with education, and this is an issue that I think is of utmost importance. When SB 36 was enacted, I believe at the time that was the best numbers that they had. But I think they also realized that some of the numbers may be flawed, so they allowed to the Department of Education to do studies to determine if it was indeed fair and to make adjustments as needed. Unfortunately, over the last 8 years, 10 years, we've done studies, and for whatever reason, they've been determined to be flawed, either by the numbers, by the subject that was studied in the studies, or just simply because somebody in this building didn't like the number that was given to their district. I think that the time has come to do what's right. These numbers are based on a quarter of the ICER study, and I will be one of the first ones to admit that I don't like the ICER study. I think that it's as flawed probably as any other study that we've done, but I also realize that districts such as mine and other districts around this state have been hurt by SB 36. Now, we can argue both sides, and we're probably right to some extent on both sides. Over the last couple of years, I've probably browbeat everybody I know in this room, and certainly I think everybody in this building. But there's still people that don't particularly like the ICER study. And like I said earlier, I'm not real crazy about it myself. But somewhere we've got to address the problem. Add more money to the foundation formula doesn't address the problem. All it does is exacerbates the problem by making the discrepancies wider between the cost differential numbers. Now, I put this amendment in, and I have all intentions of promoting and continuing with the cost differential. But I think, as some may be disheartened by it, I'm certainly not. I'm going to withdraw the amendment for right now, Mr. Chairman. The reason being is that we're still negotiating with other people here in the building. trying to come up with a compromise. What's the right thing to do? There's options out there. I don't believe they're the right options. They put more money into schools, but they don't fix the cost differential issue. And we can continue to plow millions of dollars into a formula that's broke. Or we can try to address it by a study that people don't necessarily agree with. So I think there's right and wrong on both sides of the issue, and we're discussing it, negotiating it now. I don't want to hold up the BSA bill just because I'm pretty hard set in my ways. And so there's another avenue to address this, and that's my plan to address it. But hopefully we can come to some conclusion that actually starts to address the problem. I believe I have the support on this side of the building to pass this amendment as it's written. I believe if it gets to the floor, it will pass. But what happens to it on the other side? If it dies, all our work's been in vain. And so we're continuing to work with the other body and trying to come up with a compromise that starts to address this problem, but also puts more money into education. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw Amendment 1, and but it won't be the last time before the end of this session that we see an amendment like this or similar to it. And hopefully we have the courage to do what's right, and I believe that it is right to address the cost differential. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw Amendment Number 1.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Schultz. Representative Kelp.
Just a comment. I certainly understand the co-chair's desire to do this, and probably if we don't, eventually the court's probably going to do it for us, and we probably won't like that either. But just a comment. In the negotiations and in the arm wrestling contest here about how you're going to do this, some of the other concerns in there, if we end up with some sort of a compromise where we do address the situation in Kenai and other places, I would definitely ask you to consider some sort of a cap on it at 1.5 or something, and then hold the ones that are above that harmless from any decrease. I just want to weigh in on that, because part of the problem in some of these areas is not just throwing money at it, but it's a deeper situation. And if we're going to come up with something that tries to make some movement on it this year, I want to weigh in strongly that if that cap just blows off and keeps going up, I'm going to be really concerned about it, because I think it lets it get away from us in an area where you're just throwing money at some circumstances where money is not the problem. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Foster.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the co-chair for all the hard work that he's done on this amendment. I know he's been working on it actually for a couple of years, and when he does feel free to offer the amendment again, I stand in full support, and I wanted to thank him very much.
Representative Jewell.
Thank you. I too appreciate the efforts of the co-chair of finance in trying to address this issue, because quite frankly, since the passage of SB 36, some years we were able to get the floor addressed, other years we're not, in trying to address this issue. And quite frankly, had not the issue been raised by a person such as the co-chair of finance, we wouldn't be having these kinds of discussions. You know, we'd still be trying to address the issue of the floor. And granted, it may be the courts that settle this ultimately. But how much catch-up can you do if that happens? And I agree. At some point, there's only so much money that you can put into education, and we got to start dealing with issues of content and what we're getting for the money that we're putting in it. And hopefully that discussion can happen soon.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Rick and Joel. Anyone else? I'll just comment that, frankly, I'm exhausted. I've been working with my co-chairman here for 2 years on this, trying to find out a solution that works for him and other parts of the state of Alaska. It at the same time doesn't negatively impact the area I represent, Anchorage, and which has 30% of the students, as well as the Valley and Fairbanks. You know, the bottom line is, you know, the representative of Chenault's area has lost students, and so they've lost money. But whether the class size goes from 25 kindergartners to 22 or 23, you still got the same cost, and I understand that. We do need a long-term solution to the foundation formula, to the OSB 36, and I do want to resolve this. I don't want the courts to resolve it. So it's an issue that we're gonna keep working on. All right, thank you, President Chenault. Let's move on then to Amendment 2, which it looks like, is it 2A? How'd I get a Representative Weirich here? All right, Amendment 2A, I'll move that.
I'll move to that.
Okay, then moved and objected to. What this does, I think we discussed this last week as we, again, had this bill before us. Not only did we want to do something on the cost differential, but we also wanted to add more to the foundation formula because, as we know, even with the $90 million that the governor has proposed, and it's a very generous amount, there's still schools, if not all schools, that are still short. Again, I have to base my numbers on the school I represent, which is Anchorage. They're still about $2 million short of meeting their basic needs. A $6 million increase, which is what this amendment does, this takes the foundation formula increase from $90 million, as Governor had proposed, to $96 million, and changes the per-student amount from $5,352 to $5,380. That would meet the basic needs that the school district of Anchorage needs, and I'm assuming that the foundation formula is working correctly, albeit the cost differential problem, all the school districts will benefit some by this increase. So that is why I brought forward this amendment. Any discussion? You can't talk anymore.
You don't want me to remove my objection then?
You can, yeah. That's okay. You can do that.
Please remove and I'll maintain.
Okay. You want to remove your objection?
I'll remove my objection, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Object? Right. Okay.
I'm just concerned that, you know, we've made significant increases. You know, there's never going to be enough. But the size of this budget that was handed to us, the real difficult efforts to try to stop the rate of increase that have gone on in this room, I just believe that the increase that when we first heard it in this committee, we just about choked on how much that had gone up in the prior year and the year before that it had gone up. And I absolutely do not deny the needs. They're there. They're absolutely, you know, the case is we've had a lot of people come before us and talk about the needs. But the rate of increase cannot be sustained. We're promising things we can't deliver in the future. Pretty soon, when you add PPT on top of this budget we've got right now, as pipeline declines, it's good news, but we'll go through that like it wasn't even there. So I've got a concern with this, Mr. Chairman, and I respect the bill and I understand the need, but I've got to be against it.
Okay, I appreciate that, Representative Kelly, but I think we did approve the university had an increase of almost 15%. Now this increase is nowhere close to that, so all I'm saying is that we need to have some equity. If we're going to increase higher education, university, we need to do this. But basically, my feeling is we need to do it at K-12 first, because if you're not educating your students, you don't need the university. But that's an argument for another day. Representative Foster.
Yeah, I just want to say I was in support of this amendment. We all know that a bulk of that $90 million originally from the governor's office was for PERS, TERS, and then to help some of the schools with the higher energy costs. And then if you throw in some inflation, I can't say that they're really getting an increase. I'm fully in support of this amendment.
Any other discussion?
Well, sure. I guess I probably represent. I have two school districts of mine. They happen to be the first and second largest. And I guess this is talking to them. This will fill that gap. They said it'll be a shortfall. It's a significant effort. It's going to be a far cry from getting anybody a polished apple from my friends in the NEA. But I think we'd have to be about 10 or 20 times higher. But, I think it's a significant effort. I'll support your amendment.
Thank you. I'll support the amendment, not because I like it, because any step forward is a good step. And I see another amendment behind it. And I applaud you for looking out for your district. But we need to be looking out for our districts as well. There's 50-plus other school districts around the state that are in the same boat. And I understand that this is going to be open for negotiations between now and the floor. And I understand that we've got to negotiate with the other body. But there's a piece of this that kind of grates me when we're taking care of one district and some of the other districts will get a small piece of this. But I see it as a step in the right direction. I'm willing to take this small step, but I think we need to take other steps to address the situation.
Okay, thank you, Representative
Cadill. I just want to echo what Representative Jewell just said. The hard part is that, of course, for the smaller districts like mine and Representative Wyrock's, we take the same kind of hit that the larger ones do, and this doesn't fill that gap. And I know you know that, and I know that there's going to be more work done, but it's with reluctance that we're not really making it yet that I'll vote for it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Kelly, you maintain your objection?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Madam Chair? Madam
Chair. The true power. Wait a minute. Give me the gavel. Okay.
Representative Jewell?
Yes.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Curtula?
Yes.
Representative Moses?
Yes.
Representative Stoltz?
Yes.
Representative Wyrock?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Hawker?
Yes.
Representative Holm?
No.
Representative Chenault?
No.
Representative Meyer?
Yes.
Okay, Amendment 2A then passes. Amendment 2, Representative Robert.
Move Amendment 2.
I object for the purposes of discussion.
This will be brief. I think a lot has been said. I appreciate the co-chair's discussion about the need for incremental adjustment. And this is just another incremental adjustment to discuss. We've also today talked about some pretty significant matters, long-term solutions to the university's budget, the educational funding formula. We also have long-term solutions to the fiscal problem, the no recurring source of revenue, the PERS, TERS, unfunded liability, SB 36 issues, all these long-term issues. And here we are, not dealing with long-term issues. And it's really frustrating, I think, for people to want to jump into policy arena and deal with these heavy problems to either not deal with them or throw money at it and try and deal with it another day, and it's really frustrating. And I've heard the cry of crowded classrooms. My son's a fourth grader, and he's in a very crowded classroom. My daughter's an eighth grader. She's in crowded classrooms, and my son's a ninth grader. Actually, my daughter's a seventh grader. But, I just hear that, I also note that this amount, Amendment Number 2, is identical to the amount in Amendment Number 1 that was offered but withdrawn if you added up the changes to the funding formula. So while we're not addressing the formula in Amendment Number 1, and we are addressing the issue of funds for the larger metropolitan areas, plus additional funds, even though it may not be equitable, according to the statements by the co-chair, under the funding formula. So that's why I offer amendment number two, Mr. Chairman, and I have nothing else to say. I appreciate your indulgence.
Do you maintain your amendment, or were you withdrawing it?
I wasn't sure.
Representative Warwick? Are you thinking, or?
I'm thinking.
Thinking. Okay. Well, thinking is hard work, so go ahead. Representative Chenault.
Yeah, Representative Wyrock, what is the dollar? I see the dollar amount in, but what's the?
$24 million over what was in the existing, the 99. That was the total amount of your amendment number 101.
Thanks.
Any other? Representative
Hawker? Well, Representative Wyrock contemplates here. I was prepared to vote in support of amendment number one. Acknowledging that it did not do anything for the largest district of the three that I represent. In that amendment number one is withdrawn, if I were considering that I was willing to make the investment of state funds in amendment number one, I would be remiss in not being committed to making the same investment of state funds in amendment number two here, when that provides a substantial benefit for my community as well. So I would, if Representative Wyrock chooses to pursue amendment number two, I will be supporting it, sir.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay, I think I'm going to take a brief at ease here. I need to think a little bit here now, Representative Wyrock. So we'll take a brief at ease. We ran some numbers there, and I think his amendment was...
Mr. Chairman?
No more what he anticipated. Representative Weller.
What I had done to arrive at the number which I had thought was in here was to take the amount that would have been represented by the amendment number one and put that into a number of what I thought, but it turned out to the glee of some and to my ignorance that it would have been an increase of $370 million. And while I love my kids, even with that. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move to amend amendment number two to delete 6776 and insert 5474, which essentially is an $18 million increase over what was in amendment number one, and that would be the number. And so that's my amendment to amendment number two.
Okay, very good. I'll maintain the objection. Your intent here, though, is to aggregate $24 million increase. So the $6 million that's already passed, you're adding $18 million
yes,
to
sir.
It. Okay. Okay, very good. Representative Hawker?
Yeah, I'd like to just comment. I want to stand on the record of supporting my maintaining my previous comments of being in support of this amendment, but it's been pointed out to me that I am not privy to all the negotiations and conversations going on at the executive level between House and Senate finance as well. So I will respectfully follow the leads of the co-chairs here, but would like to be on record of strongly supporting putting something in this budget to address these cost inequities.
I appreciate that, Representative Hawker, and I share your comments that I also am supportive of Representative Wyrock's amendment. However, the concern I have is that if it passes, then it may hurt the chances of co-chair here of getting any sort of cost differential for his area and other areas throughout the state. So with that, I'm going to be voting against the amendment. Any other questions or comments? Representative Kelly.
Just I replay my former statement. I think that one was high and this one is really high. And it builds it right into the formula. It doesn't solve the problem that the co-chair has talked about on the inequities. And so I have to vote against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kelly. You're being consistent. Okay. Representative Jewell?
Currently, this is the only thing on the table, and I understand other negotiations are taking place. But it's kind of like PPT in the gas line. And I'm not sure where the end game is going to be, although I do know that I know where it needs to be. And I understand the concern of the co-chairs of maybe not being able to implement the district cost factor if we accept this amendment, yet if we do, it would take a simple amendment to fix it, I would think. Because I think the appetite is still there. But at this point, understanding that there are negotiations that are occurring, I think I might have to trust what's going on to accomplish the goal that I would like to see with some level of consideration for the area cost differential and hopefully that will be accomplished by the time this hits the floor. Otherwise, I think you're going to see amendments to do this or more that will probably have a lot of support on the, and that's not any way, shape, or form to be a threat or anything. I mean, after all, I am in the minority. but I think everybody feels the pressure of finding a common ground here, and in the interest of giving some room for negotiations, I'll defer to that at this point. And I look forward to seeing what the result of that will be on the floor.
Thank you, Representative Jewell. I think he can be assured that the co-chairman here next to me is not going to give up on his endeavor. Representative Barr?
Mr. Chairman, the motion before the committee is amendment to the amendment. Mm-hmm. So did you want to vote on the amendment to the amendment? Because I think that's going to be an indication of the vote on the amendment. So depending on what that vote is, then I'm going to just either continue with the amendment or withdraw.
Hey, Representative Barr, I don't think there's any objections to the amendment to the amendment.
All right.
The objection is just to the amendment as amended before. Oh,
okay.
Is that correct?
Okay.
Yeah, what we have before us is the amended amendment, which was an increase of $18 million to the foundation. Very good. Any other discussion? Not, let's see, who objected?
I
objected. Okay. yeah, and I do maintain my objection. Yes, Madam Secretary.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Petula?
Yes.
Representative Moses?
No.
Representative Stoltz?
No.
Representative Weirach?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Cocker?
No.
Representative Holm?
No.
Representative Jewell?
No.
Representative Meyer?
No.
Representative Chenault?
No.
Yay.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Amendment 2 fails. Okay, that's all the amendments we have, of course, this time. This issue is far from being over, but it's inching along through the process. Is there anything else before we have a motion to move the bill out of committee? Representative Chenault?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will make a comment. As you just stated, it's a long way from over. I don't believe that the issue of the cost differential has died. There are people out there that would not like to see us implement this. They would like to see us go ahead and formulate a new study. That may be an option that's out there, but all it does is continues the inequity problem with funding in the state of Alaska. And sometime we've got to stand up, and we've got to step forward, and we've got to do what's right, not just continue to hide our heads in the sand thinking that we have a formula that is perfect. It was designed, knew it had flaws. We need to address the flaws. We need to address the issues. Now's the time to stand up and do what's right for school districts in Alaska and not hide our head in the sand any longer. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that's my only comments.
Thank you, Representative Schultz. Representative Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, since we're talking on an issue that will come back before us, and I mentioned the CAF concept, I also would like to just mention, since we're putting stuff in there for thinking about, because it will come back at us, and that is that if you're going to do an adjustment similar to what Amendment 1 does, I would also encourage that to come out of the number that we have selected to increase education for the year, that it not be on top of. It's just one more concern I have about this, the unsustainability of some of our actions here. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard Kill. Seeing no other questions or comments, Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. I wanted to thank the co-chairs of finance for this bill. I know you guys get beat up no matter what you do. So I'll go ahead and move out HB 362 out of finance with the attached fiscal notes with individual recommendations as amended.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none. Thank you, Representative Foster. House Bill 382, is that what it is?
Yeah.
362 passes out of committee.
Yeah, it was amended.
As amended, cabinet. And also, we'll need new fiscal notes, Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, as amended. Okay. Anything else? If not, we're back here at 1:30 to hear bills, and the bells are ringing, so we need to go down to the floor. Thanks.
Bill,